Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Psalm 112. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Wednesday morning, November 4th, and we still don't know who won the presidential election yesterday, and we may not know for several more days, but we do know who sits on the throne as the King of the universe, and that is the Lord God Almighty. And so we are here to hear from His Word, because His Word never changes, and His promises never fail. So I hope you're doing well this morning. I hope you did get some sleep last night. If you're a political junkie and you decided you were going to try to stay awake to see the outcome, I think it was pretty obvious by about 11:30 that we weren't going to get an outcome last night. So hopefully you got some sleep and are ready for whatever the Lord has in store for you today. So right now, that's Psalm 112. Let's pray and then we'll read it together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for giving us rest in you and for waking us up and blessing us with a new day. Father, we do pray for our country, our temporary home on our pilgrimage through this world, America. We pray because whatever the outcome, it looks like things are deeply, deeply divided in our country. And so we pray, Father, that your church and your gospel would bring healing and an influence of peace. Let us remember that we're called to be peacemakers. We're called to be salt and light. And we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. So, Father, help us to do that in the days and weeks and months and years that you give us in this world. And this morning, Father, would you please help us understand Psalm 112 and write it on our hearts, as it is a picture of Christ and a picture of how we ought to live in this world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 112, verses 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. And that is Psalm 112. Psalm 112 is a wisdom psalm. If you're familiar with the Psalms, you may have noticed some parallels, I think, between Psalm 112 and Psalm 1, the opening psalm of the Psalter. And I think there's a reason for that. I think Ezra wrote both of them. But there is definitely a picture of the godly man and of his blessing and of what it means to walk in the Lord. And ultimately, the blessed man, when we see blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who greatly delights in his commandments is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever we see a picture of the ideal man of God, the one who is firm and fruitful and blessed by God, it's always a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 112 is also, like Psalm 111 that we looked at on Friday, it is also an acrostic psalm. So that means that each line begins with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so verses 9 and 10, very similar to Psalm 111, verses 9 and 10 have three lines each. So you go through verses 1 through 8, and they are two lines each, and then you get to verses 9 and 10, and they are three lines each, and they go through the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And this is someone else's translation, a more literal translation. I want to give Yahweh wholehearted thanks in an assembly of an assembled congregation of upright ones. Great are the works of Yahweh to be studied for all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic is his work, and his righteousness stands forever. A remembrance he made for his wonders. Gracious and compassionate is Yahweh. Food he gave to those who fear him. He remembers forever his covenant. The power of his works he made known to his people, to give them an inheritance of nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. Trustworthy are all his precepts. Established they are forever and ever, to be done in truth and uprightness. Redemption he sent for his people. He ordained forever his covenant. Holy and awesome is his name. The beginning of wisdom is reverence of Yahweh. Good insight is there for all who do them. So that's his praise stands forever. In fact, if you look at Psalm, I did the wrong thing there. Never mind. I was supposed to show you a side by side of 111 and 112, but these are both 111, so of course they look exactly the same. Anyway, both 111 and 112 have 10 verses. They both have three lines in the last two verses. They were written as a pair. They were very clearly written together as a pair, and they are designed to go together as a pair in the Psalter. And so it's a good to read these together. Just like Psalms 1 and 2 are an opening pair in the Psalm, in the Psalter, 111 and 112 are as well. All right, so Psalm 112. Let's just walk through this. So, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his command. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Now, there's a woodenly literal physical way of interpreting these verses and verses like this in the Bible that's very popular among the proclaimers of the prosperity gospel, and they'll tell you, look, if you trust in the Lord, if you do his commandments, you're going to be strong. You're going to be rich. You're going to have lots of children. And that's just not really clearly promised in God's word, particularly in the New Covenant age. Jesus said, yes, if you follow me, you will have houses and land and brothers and sisters in this life with persecutions, and in the life to come, eternal life. And I think what Jesus is talking about in that particular passage where he's responding to something that Peter says is that if you're brought into the kingdom of God, you're brought into the household of God, you're made part of his church, part of his family, you are greatly blessed with his people. And there is a great kingdom that we are called to be a part of. And ultimately, as I said before, this is a picture of Jesus, and Jesus is mighty. He is powerful. His righteousness endures forever, and we're brought into that. We're brought under that. We're brought into that kingdom, right? We don't need to wring our hands and wonder and cry and long over the next presidential election. Who's going to be president? Is Donald Trump going to get a second term? Is Joe Biden going to be elected? We don't know right now, but we are trusting in the Lord, and our strength is in him, and our security is in him. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright, right? We live in a divided time. We live in a dark time. There's a lot of lies circulating in our culture. There's a lot of division, but there is light. Jesus lived in a dark time. You think we live in a divided time. He lived in occupied Israel, where there were zealots and tax collectors. There were, you know, fiery independence movement guys, and there were people who were, you know, serving Caesar and serving Pontius Pilate and Herod. And Jesus lived in that time of darkness. It was a time of oppression of God's people. And yet, Jesus is the light. He is the light that never fades. And he is there for us always. He's gracious. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. And so through him, we can be gracious, merciful, and righteous. That's how it works with these Psalms. They point us to Christ, but then they also point us to who we are in Christ. So if Christ is the fulfillment of Psalm 112, that doesn't mean it's not about us. It's about us in Christ. And that's why for Paul, I think when Paul got it, when he came to the Lord and he really understood the scriptures the way God intended them to be as Christ-centered, Paul's favorite phrase became in Christ, in him, in Christ Jesus, because everything is in him. So Christ is the one who conducts his affairs with justice and who will never be moved and who will be remembered forever. But if we are in Christ, then we should be the ones who are also gracious and merciful and righteous. We should deal generously and we should lend. We should conduct our affairs with justice. And then we, in Christ, will never be moved. And we will be remembered by God forever. God says he will never forget us and he will never forsake us. We are remembered forever in God's presence in Christ. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful peace. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Got some really, really bad news this morning. And we'll be praying together in just a few minutes. But Tim Challies is someone who is I've followed for years and have really appreciated his writings and his insights on a number of things. Even if he is Canadian, but he's seriously a wonderful author and blogger, and has just been very, very helpful to me in my spiritual life over the last, 10-15 years. And his son, his only son, died very suddenly yesterday, apparently, and just tragic, bad news. But we know his son was a believer. He was a student at Boyce College in Louisville, Kentucky, which is the college of the Southern Baptist Convention. He was a man of God, and so he is with the Lord. And whatever bad news comes, we can trust in the Lord. Our heart can be firm. Not that we don't grieve, not that we're not moved emotionally, but our heart, the center of who we are, is anchored in Christ, and so is steady. Heart is firm. Heart is steady. We know that one day we will look in triumph on our adversaries, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so one day we will look in triumph on death. We'll say, death, you stole our friends, you stole our loved ones, but we win in the end in Christ. We get our friends and loved ones back in resurrection bodies that will never die, and death is destroyed by Christ forever. And that's the promise we have. That's the rock anchor that we have, no matter what's going on in the world. And so then how do we live? How do we live in a world of division, of darkness, of bad news? How do we live in a world where we might be afraid, where we are surrounded by enemies? Well, give generously. Be gracious, right? Be gracious, merciful, and righteous. Deal generously and lend. Conduct your affairs with justice. Distribute freely, give to the poor, right? Because Christ is our righteousness, and he endures forever. His horn is exalted in anger. And then it ends with this contrast, just like Psalm 1 does. It ends with the contrast of the wicked are not so, right? But are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Here is the contrast with the wicked. The wicked may seem to triumph in this age. They may seem to get the upper hand at times. But God will deal with the wicked. And so the desire of the wicked will perish. Well, that is Psalm 112. It's a call to us to contemplate Christ as the blessed man who fears the Lord, as the one who is our righteousness and who endures forever. But it's also for us a call, as we are in Christ, to be like Christ. All those who are in Christ are called to be like Christ. And so let's pray toward that end together. Heavenly Father, you have given your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our righteousness, to be our salvation, to be the forgiveness of our sins and our eternal life. Our heart is firm and our heart is steadfast. Our heart is not shaken to the core by bad news because our hearts are anchored in Christ. There's no other place where our hearts are safe but in the hands of Jesus. Father, I do pray for my brother Tim Challies and for his wife and his daughters. This terrible, tragic, unexpected loss of his son. I pray, Father, that you would give him your peace. I pray that you would give him your strength. I pray that you would uplift him. The whole family, Father, hold them in your hands and carry them through. Father, we pray that whenever any of us, whenever we deal with bad news or uncertainty, that our hearts would be anchored in Christ. And that we would live like Christ in this world, that the world might see Christ through us, that we would be gracious and merciful, that we would deal generously, that we would give freely, that we would love our neighbors, that we would reach out to those who need a touch from you. Father, make us faithful to this end. We ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me this morning. We're going to look forward to Psalm 113. I got that backwards, huh? I'm going to look forward to Psalm 113 on Friday morning. Have a blessed day in the Lord.